Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. We're glad that you are here. Our preacher for this service is Reverend Mike Cassidy and he's a retired minister living in our circuit. And we're going to continue the Easter season as we hear the resurrection story about Thomas, who until he saw Jesus for himself, doubted the witness of the other disciples. Mike's message for us is about the relationship of faith and doubt. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And will you join me now in our call to worship? Your parts are on the screen in white. We gather as people on a journey. We believe and we have doubts. We do good and we sin. We are imperfect humans and still beloved by God. Love and grace, hope and faith, these are the essence of God. Though we are full of trust and full of doubt, we are here. Speak to us. Continue creating in us. Inspire our hearts. Enlighten our minds. Guide our actions. So we're going to open today singing number 351 in Singing the Faith. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Thank you.
Let us come before God in prayer. Holy God, lover of your children, the tomb has been opened and we dance into your future. Your new life has dawned on us and we surround you with our praise. You reach out your hand and lead us into joy. You breathe peace into our souls so we may bring healing to a troubled world. We come now to make our confession. O God of grace and new beginnings, when we hesitate to speak of your hope, forgive us and help us to find our voice. When we stay locked behind our fears and doubts, forgive us and send us out to share your grace. When we cannot believe your word of new life, forgive us and fill us with your joy. Hear the good news. Christ does not mock us when we fail to trust. Christ's purpose is not to tear us down, but to build us up, forgiven, refreshed, and renewed. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Reading our scripture for us today is Maggie Scott, and she is a steward and worship leader at Kelsale Methodist Church.
Our reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 20, reading from verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just as Jesus appeared many times after his resurrection, we too are assured of his promised presence with us. And we're called to meet with him. And we're going to continue in song as we sing number 28, Jesus calls us here to meet him. We affirm God's promised presence as we join the faithful and the doubter in our common search for truth. Praise the God who keeps his promise.
Our main focus today on this first Sunday after Easter is the character named Thomas, a disciple of Jesus. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke, Thomas is barely ever mentioned. His name appears only in the listings of the apostles. In the Gospel of John, though, Thomas is one of the main characters in two important stories. One of those stories makes up today's passage from John's Gospel, where Thomas features prominently in two separate incidents 1 week apart. In the first incident, Thomas receives the news from his friends that they, fearfully meeting in a locked room, have met the crucified Jesus standing amongst them. The second incident happens 1 week later. Thomas is present in the same room, though, according to the text, this time the room is not locked. So, a week after the first Easter day, Thomas himself meets the crucified Jesus and is moved to declare, "My Lord and my God." In the first incident, the other disciples naturally share with Thomas their news that the crucified Jesus is alive. So, the Thomas of the first ever Easter day represents the many others of Jesus' disciples, people like you and me, who have not met with the now alive crucified Jesus in the same way. We'll come back to this issue in a few moments. Before we do, let's remind ourselves of a wider context. It has not been an uncommon experience in my ministry to hear the superficial idea that faith and doubt are two complete opposites. In fact, historically, The human experience of doubt has so often been among the greatest of blessings for humankind. The mature Christian has long since learned that faith and doubt are the two essential bedfellows. There's no doubt about it. Doubt is a troubling experience. It takes faith, though, to realise that doubt is meaningful. To live well with doubt is to do well at being human. Faithful believers who have faced their troubling doubts and through them have come to see what once was unseen have repeatedly been a great blessing to all of us. For example, in the book of Judges in our Bible, we see evidence that long, long ago, some Jews believed that God asked of them human sacrifices. But there were prophets who began to say, "I doubt that." And through their doubt, the sacrifice of children in the valley of Hinnom was finally stopped. Our Old Testament shows us that for a long time, Jews were taught God loves only Jews. Others are irrelevant to God. But there were other Jews that said, "I doubt that." And from the stronger faith that issued from such doubt, the story of Jonah emerged, which declared God's love even for wicked pagan cities like ancient Nineveh. Of course, not all doubts are healthy. Some of our doubts may be nothing more than the effects of being sucked in by the rampant materialism and hedonism of this 21st century. Some of our doubts may be a cover-up for a cowardice that is not prepared to take the risk and launch out into the unknown, staking our all on Christ. And some of our doubts may be the result of sins we refuse to face up to, so that a spiritual barrenness becomes the place we inhabit. And some of our doubts, of course, may stem from the fact that we have never developed a theology and a biblical awareness beyond that of the days when we were in Sunday school. And for many people, some of their doubts are the byproduct of the disappointments, the wounds, the rejections, the griefs we have all personally suffered in the course of life. When doubt assails us, always try to bring to mind the words of Jesus: "The truth will set you free." Jesus himself was a remarkable doubter, honestly doubting many of the things he had been taught. Jesus had grown up, for example, in an environment which taught that women were inferior beings to men and that they should be kept hidden in their homes. But Jesus of Nazareth doubted that, and he chose some women to travel with him among the band of disciples. Jesus had been taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but he doubted that those words justified violence. So he taught people, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you." And so I repeat, doubt is a troubling experience. It takes faith to realise that doubt is meaningful. To live well with doubt is to do well at being human. Now we can return to the Thomas incident in today's gospel passage. The resurrection of Jesus, like the crucifying killing of Jesus, was one of a series of Jesus events. We often find ourselves assuming that Easter was the conclusion of all that we need to be the effective people of God. They crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. End of story. Big mistake. Never forget, Easter Day is only a part of a much, much bigger story. The church's liturgical year was purposely designed to mirror this. When Jesus was raised from the dead and met with his disciples, there followed a period of getting used to the idea that the Messiah of God had been allowed by God to be a crucified Messiah. Hence what we now call Eastertide. And that period, after it had run for a while, was followed by another period, one we eventually called Ascension Tide, a period when the disciples lived with the implications of a crucified Messiah, raised from the dead by God, who is now, and will be forever, ascended to the actual throne of no one less than Almighty God. After that, there began yet another new period, one we now call Pentecost, a period when the implications of the birth, the life, the teaching, the witness, the death, the raising, and the ascension of Jesus are made flesh by many, many other Jesus-like people. That bigger story has grown and grown to become the story that continues today with your life and mine. Let's go back to that historic sequence, to the Thomas incidents of John chapter 20. John's gospel was written for the followers of Jesus living in the wider pagan world of the Roman Empire, somewhere around the end of the first century AD. So by this time, none of the apostles were alive, and all of their contemporaries were dead too. The followers of Jesus who first received John's gospel were in some ways just like you and me, and in many other ways very much not like you and me. Unlike you and me, theirs was a world completely without the science of biology. So, the biological issues that challenge modern minds with regard to the contents of Scripture just would not even be on the agenda of their daily life. Thomas the disciple was blessed with being alive during the original Eastertide period of the fuller story. John's first audience were not. They were alive and seeking to follow Jesus much later in that bigger story. They needed to know that even though they could never lay claim to being an original witness, they were still just as important to Jesus and could witness to him in as effective a way as any of the first witnesses. Hence, the inclusion of the Thomas incident in John's Gospel. When Easter comes around for you and me, it may be that that's when our doubts especially arise about the scientific credibility of Jesus' resurrection. Perhaps your questions and even your doubts about the resurrection of Jesus are such that you think of yourself a lesser follower of Jesus. John's inclusion of the Thomas incident is for you. With all your doubts and questions, you are still very much an important part of Jesus's followers. Like Thomas on the first Easter day, we have not seen the risen Jesus. Like Thomas on the first Easter day, we have not been granted the opportunity to talk with Jesus or verify beyond all scientific doubt the credibility and the authenticity of his resurrection. Unlike Thomas, we find ourselves alive and witnessing to Jesus in a very, very different world, much, much later in the still unfolding story. Paradoxically, our unavoidable scientific upbringing makes us crave even more the experience of seeing and touching the Jesus of Eastertide. Oh, the biological questions all of us would want answers to. Equally paradoxically, it is very likely that Jesus of Nazareth would not even understand our questions anyway, never mind answer them. I reckon his only bewildered response would be, "Follow me." Even more paradoxically, our scientific upbringing has demonstrated that when we find answers to our questions, we are introduced to even more questions which we didn't even know about. The pursuit of knowledge is a never-ending enterprise. Furthermore, science itself has revealed to us everyday things we cannot see with our eyes. Electricity, microwaves, gravity, and so much else that is part of creation and every day of our lives. The truth is that when we engage in the deeper questions of the purpose and the meaning of life, when we face relationships that require reconciling, or when we struggle with life's tragedies, we need something greater than what the current circumstances offer. When situations arrive that leave us speechless, or that are just too horrific for our thoughts, we need more than what we can engage with our five physical senses. We need to believe and trust in things we cannot yet see. What we have inherited in the Jesus story reveals the truly important things, the nature of who God is. Grace, love, abundant life for all, and God's passion for justice. All these important things are summed up in the Easter Jesus greeting to the fearful, failed, even bolshy disciples of Jesus in every age. It's all summed up in his greeting. Peace be with you. So on this second Sunday of Eastertide, in our part of God's unfolding purposes, I repeat one more time. Doubt is a troubling experience. Faith realizes that doubt is meaningful. To live well with doubt is to do well at being human and at being a follower of Jesus.
Thank you, Mike, for your sermon and your reminder that faith and doubt are not opposites, but are a part of what it means to be a people of faith. You're journeying in faith as disciples in a faith community means sharing our meaningful doubts and troubling questions with one another. If Mike has stirred some thoughts in you, then you want to talk, then contact me or contact Mike or any leader in our circuit. And as lockdown begins to lift, let's share our stories of faith and doubt and support each other. Let us continue in prayer. Risen Christ, our eternal Saviour, in your extravagant generosity, your boundless love, you appear to us in our fear, and love us in our doubts, and grant us the oceans of your peace. Thank you for loving us as we are. Teach us not to hide from our doubt, but to recognize it as a door to mystery and to deeper faith. After all, the disciples' fear became a visitation as they saw you among them, risen and triumphant. Thomas's doubt became a moment of revelation as he saw and touched you and finally believed. Grant us the courage to live as witnesses to your resurrection. Risen Christ, be light in our world. And we bring to you now some of the situations in our lives and the world that need your light. We give thanks for the long life of His Royal Highness Prince Philip, for all that he has contributed to our nation and beyond, and for his support of our Queen. We pray that he will be at rest, trusting in the grace of God. And we remember before you Her Majesty the Queen and the royal family, praying that they will know your comfort and strength in the days to come. We lift up all those on our hearts who are sick or bereaved. And as we celebrate the easing of lockdown in this country, we pray for wise decisions made by our government and by governments around the world. We pray for the smooth production ramp up and distribution throughout the world of the vaccines, particularly to the poorer countries. And we pray for Brazil and Latin America as death tolls continue to rise, and for Europe, where infection rates are spiking again. As some of the churches that were closed are choosing now to reopen, we pray for our leaders to listen to the Spirit's promptings as they consider the right time to reopen and which ministries to restart and when. Shine your light in our local churches, we pray. Grant to all of us, living Lord Christ, renewed faith, great courage, and your boundless peace, as we lift our prayers to you, saying together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I have some exciting news to share with you this week. If you've not yet heard, I have permission to share this news with you. Our two musicians, Neil Heffelthwaite and Elizabeth Story, were married in a quiet ceremony last Sunday on Easter Day. We send them our best wishes for a long and happy marriage. So congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Heffelthwaite. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in our worship service today, to Cantus Firmus as part of the In Harmony project at St. Edmundsbury Cathedral for our first hymn, and to Neil and Elizabeth Heffelthwaite and Adrian Pell for the remainder of our music, and also to Adrian for doing the editing of our video. For our sermon today, our thanks go to Mike Cassidy, and for reading scripture to Maggie Scott. Thank you to you all. It would be great to know that you're worshipping with us today. There is a form above this video if you're on the Methodistic website. Just type in your name and location and then push the red button. Next week, our preacher is retired minister, Reverend Stephen Yelland. As we continue to look at the resurrection stories, his message is called Another Easter Meeting. So we now come to the time in our service where we offer ourselves to God, our time, our treasure, and our talents. So I encourage you to support the work of your local congregation. Let us pray. generous and surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only Son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings into gifts that will transform the world through our witness to your love. We lay our very lives at your feet, O God, knowing that you will use us to proclaim and embody the gospel. Amen. We're going to finish our service today by singing number 348, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He has died to set us free. Go from here, rejoicing in the knowledge that Christ has risen. Go and live faithfully with your meaningful doubt. And the blessings of God, the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.